Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts Mahoney Brains. We rock it out here in San Diego and Australia, all over the planet. We got a love, unconditional love expert on the show with us today, and a dancer. She's a songstress, and she is going to talk to us about all things love. I want to get to working on some of this unconditional love, because you know what? I don't believe in it. I know. Can you believe that? And unapologetically and authentically, I say that out loud. So I want to introduce everyone to Samantha Janae Love.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull, and we get down. We are coming to you straight from San Diego, California, and South Australia. We are with my guest, Samantha Janae Love. She is an unconditional love expert. She's a songstress, she's a mother, and she got dogs. And we're going to talk about that. I want to ask her how she shows up in the world and how she really is a subject matter expert on this thing called love. Because there's a war. See, I wore my fatigues. There's a war on love. There's a serious war on love. So tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world, wonderful.
So I've been on this beautiful world for 45 years, and probably 25 years ago, I had a moment where I was doing a lot of self-medicating, as people would say. I was in a very dark place because I did not feel a lot of love inside. So at that point, I decided that I would change the way that I looked at myself, the world, and all of these things that I wanted in the world started coming to me. I'm now a mama of two, a three-year-old and a five-year-old. I'm a wife of a beautiful man, and I get to share what I've learned over these years with my beautiful, beautiful clients.
Well, you have clients and you have a tribe. So really, what are you pouring into your clients? Firstly, do you work with men and women, or do you specifically work with women?
Mainly I work with women, but if a man comes to me, if we're an energetic match, because I work a lot with energy as well, I work with all the different parts of your body. So your conscious, your subconscious, your energy, your soul, all of the parts of you, because it may not be this lifetime that you have a little bit of a, I don't love myself. It could have been three lifetimes ago. It could have been an ancestral thing as well. So I work with all of the parts of a person. But, you know, I've come into this world this time as a woman, so I just find it easier to work with women. They sort of get me as well.
So. They do. But, you know, everyone that I talk to seems to really focus on women. Where do you think that women are, for the lack of a better term, lacking? Where are we falling short? Is it because we are empathic by nature? Is it because we want to be the nurturer? Is it because we've experienced trauma before? A lot of women have. So what do you think?
Funny that comes up. I think it's because of the pull of the energetics of the masculine and feminine within each person. So it's not really a male or a female. And I find that a lot of women that I'm working with, they're either in a distorted feminine, which is being a tyrant, or they're being very much in victim, or they've gone to their masculine and they're freaking exhausted. They're doing everything that, you know, they're doing everything, literally the cooking, the cleaning, the you name it, they're doing everything and then doing their jobs and trying to have their tribe and doing all of the things. So it's about educating people on where to sit within your energy. And you're not just one thing at any one time as well.
Right,
it's about
right.
being a cent in your centered feminine and sometimes in your centered masculine as a woman. So feminine is very flowy, beautiful and creative. And then the masculine is action taking and getting stuff done. Mm. So we need to be in both of these at certain times.
Well, you know, but some women can't decipher. Because they want to wear the pencil skirt and the red bottom shoes and run a corporation like a man.
And that's okay, as long as our energy within ourselves is fine. Because I want to do great things in the world. So if I'm always in my fluffy feminine, I'm not getting shit done. I'm looking good. I'm feeling good. I'm having a bad old time, but nothing's getting done. So I have all of this creativeness that is happening, and unless I take that action, and that's
creative,
that, you know.
I call it creative nothingness. You know,
yes.
It's like when people meet on the meeting to see what they're meeting about. It's like nothing.
Yeah.
So there's impactors and there's influencers, and there's, you know, people that are. Not really grabbing hold to, again, like you said, to who they are.
Yeah.
And they're lost in the world.
Yeah.
How do people begin to find center? Just center, you know? And then they just can get center. Grounded. But just how do they find their center?
Sometimes you need, like, I've been finding that in society and the people that I've been working with, they get to that point where it's a wake-up call. So whether it's an accident, an illness, or whatever, unfortunately, people don't go, geez, I have to do something until they have that point. And then it's that finding the center is sometimes just sitting with yourself, looking at the shadow parts of yourself and the good parts, not just focusing on one or the other, looking at your whole being. And that's where you can find your center.
Now, you are a very exotic woman. You understand your femininity. You understand your sexuality. You know, women have lost the art of flirting. They become so strong in this place that they are. You know, how do we bring sexy back?
So many different ways. I think sexy is an attitude as well. So, and it does help, like if you haven't been putting on the sexy things, it may be that you have to put on that sexy negligee and it's, or, you know, a nice feminine dress. And I'm not saying that you have to, if you're always in, you know, black or something, going straight to pretty flowers or something, do something that is a good step for you and is comfortable for you, because if it's when you feel it through your being, that's when you have that sexiness.
Absolutely. So it's,
and I think too, we've forgotten to flow with our hips, moving our hips. And that's where I feel that my sexy comes from. When we,
they're laying in the bed like a flat tuna. You got to move it, baby. You got to work it, okay? Really, okay. You know, really, I've been married. It will be 37 years, and I put my back into it, and I'm not afraid to let nobody know. You know, but you have to be creative. You have to be innovative, because I'm telling you, brains, if you won't do it, somebody else out there will.
True that, yeah. And if they're getting bored, they will definitely go and look for it elsewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. And being vanilla is boring, okay?
Yeah, totally.
So you are a songstress. Tell us a little bit about your singing.
Well, it's an interesting thing when I'm doing my healings on people, or if I'm drumming using my medicine drum, I get this, it's almost like life language songs coming out, and it's just etheric, and it's sometimes just a song for that person. So I was just completing a crystal shamanic diploma on the weekend, and I'm like drumming away, and I'm like, oh, there's too many people here, but I just have to sing. It's something that just comes through me.
Well, I had an experience, you know, I was in a deep meditation and God talked to me and he told me that I needed to change my frequency. And so we always think that we have to go up to a higher frequency, but my chore and my challenge was to go down. And that's exactly what I did. And I did it with some drums. And I tell you,
beautiful.
It took me to a whole different place. It opened up different portals of my soul. So as you started doing the singing and the drumming, you realized that you were a divine spiritual being. What does that mean?
It means that I can have my feet on the ground and my hands in the air and have all of the frequencies come through me at the same time.
Wow.
And really feel that unconditional energy spark, because when we come into the world, that's all that we are. We're love. We are birthed as pure love, and that's all that we know. It's unfortunate of the conditioning of whatever happens through our lives, and we forget that we're this beautiful miracle spark of being. Yeah,
that's beautiful. So you mentioned briefly that you were self-medicating. What was your wake-up call that you said, you know what, this is not who I am. You know, I'm a product of my environment or my situation, but this is not who I am.
There was probably one moment when I, you know, really scared myself and I was reaching for something that I said that I wasn't going to reach for. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happened to me? But there was probably a few, and I'm a little bit stubborn, so it was a few wake-up calls. Alcohol poisoning many times within a week, just drinking myself silly, taking amphetamines as well, because I, even though I was feeling numb, I wanted to feel number.
And when you're a creative being, you know, we trick ourselves. And so, you know, they think, oh, well, a drink or a joint or a snort, you know, all of that is going to heighten our creativity. It's going to take us to another level. It's going to be euphoric. It's going to be psychedelic. It can be damn chaos.
Yeah. And I think that's probably what happened. I had a few of those chaos moments. And they are not fun at all, the chaos moments. And, you know, they take a lot longer to come back from. So that was probably my wake-up moment, those chaos moments.
Let me dial back and ask you one other thing without getting too personal. Yeah. Were you going through something? Were you partying just too hard? Because, you know, I could tell you like to dance. With the wrong crowd, or just was it a combination of things?
It was a combination of things. So I was always wanting to feel like I was part of the tribe and feel loved, and I wanted to really feel love deeply. And one of my strengths in the Gallup test is achiever. That's my highest strength. So I was the best partier ever. So being the best partier ever takes you down some roads with not very nice people as well. And, you know, I did put myself in situations that were not the best, because I didn't like myself at all. I would probably say that I hated myself. So, there was a lot of self-sabotage. There was not a lot of, there wasn't any love at all for myself. I was just searching, and that's what happened.
Well, you're so beautiful. Okay, so now you are a mother of a 3 and 5 year old. And what are you pouring into those little ladies that is going to break the generational curse? Because that is big now. Everyone is talking about generational trauma.
Yeah, totally.
How are you going to stop it?
So I've been doing my own work. So when I do my work, it finishes the trauma as well. And it's about just doing things differently. And I don't get it right every single day. Sometimes I'm like, I'm sorry, baby, but we have a lot of love that comes through in our house. And we, like, they both have different ways that they need to be loved as well. So, you know, I look at the 5 love languages, and, you know, one of them's very touchy-feely, and the other one is more about doing things. She likes things done for her. So I have to love them in the way that they need to be loved. Absolutely. As well. Yeah.
So it's important that you recognize that.
Yeah, and getting over my own self as well. So one of them's at the "I hate you, mama." It's not that she hates me. It's just that she hates that she's not allowed to get her own way. That's the only thing.
Yeah, you tell me you hate me and you going in timeout.
Yeah. I'll go in timeout.
I'm not putting up with it. You not is all I do for you as a mama. You ain't going to hate me. But you know what? It is, you know, letting your children be able to express themselves.
Totally.
You know, and it's, I don't know, it's more modern these days. It used to be where, I don't know how old you are. Well, you said you were 45. I'm 59. Yeah. And it was like, you do as I say and not as I do.
Yeah.
And it's a different world now. You know, everything is a lot more liberal. There's a lot more sexuality. There's a lot more profanity. There's a lot of anger in the world. There's a lot of hostility. So through all of that, how do you work with your clients to break through their trauma and to find this unconditional love?
Normally, what I do is I mostly, and it's probably the biggest thing that I do, I get them to look at themselves and all of the things that they do and look at where they're being in victim and when they're being in responsibility. So if they can get that part first, then we can move on. Because if we're in victim, we're just going to find excuses for why we are in the places that we are. When we're in being in responsibility, we can find ways to move around it. It may not be a direct way, but it can be a way to get to where we need to be.
Absolutely.
Then I take away emotions, their emotions that they've had, because emotions actually create a belief system. So we go through forgiveness, belief systems, inner child work, and I just work with the client as to what they need. Sometimes I even go into some of the womb work for the women as well, if they've had a lot of trauma there. And it could just be that mother bond hasn't been there as well, so they don't know how to create that in their lives.
Mommy issues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just lost my mom a couple weeks ago. But I'll tell you something, Samantha, it was a transition and a rites of passage.
Yeah.
I got to see life. I got to see death. It's odd that she died in the month of April when she named me April. You know, and I wasn't born in April. I was born in August. But it's just so many synergies, so many things, songs that I hear on the radio. And me and my mother had a strong, strong bond. And I really feel for people that don't have that. But you can tell a lot about a man, about how he treats you, about how he treated his mother.
Yeah.
Because they hold a woman in a certain sacred place because we are goddesses. But do you think sometimes that there's too much responsibility and not just responsibility, but pressure that's put on women to act a certain way, be a certain way? Because there's a lot of women that have children that are not good mothers, and they just were not made to be a mother.
Yeah. And I think that's it too. So I think there's that stigma of being a mother as well. Are we a woman until we become a mother? That was one of my conditionings. I'm not really a woman until I birth a child. There's plenty of people out there who haven't birthed children, and they are amazing mothers. They may be running programs for kids that have, you know, lost their way, or, you know, they've got bad upbringings, or, you know, like their home environment isn't the best. So I think that mother is something that it's just a word, but it's more of an energy that these women are showing as well. And it's that absolute nurturing of a person when they need you the most.
Absolutely. So, I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. What would you tell a 25-year-old Samantha Janae?
Just to live their best life. to really know what their boundaries are, mm-hmm. and just know that they can feel deep within themselves as to what the right answer is for them. So don't be pressured into whether it's having kids, not having kids. If they really want to have kids, have kids. If they want to go for a corporate job and have kids, everything is available for them. But just knowing where their spark is, and remembering their spark and feeling into their spark and finding that spark and living each moment from that spark.
Yeah. Why do you think that it's so, because I think it's idealistic, this concept of unconditional love. There's some conditions on my love. You come at me crazy. Oh, baby, I'm going to cut you off. Okay. I don't love you anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to disrespect you. But love is, it's biblical. It's energy. It's power. Yeah. It's a force. You know, I just don't give mine. I do. I give it, but I'll pull it back too.
And that's an interesting thing. That it's that when we give it completely, but it doesn't mean that we have to put up with people's crap as well. So that's where that boundary comes in as well. So I can say that I appreciate that person. I will love them unconditionally. If they were dying in front of me, I would go and save them. But if they're going to be horrible as well, I'm not, I'm not going to put up with for those, those things. So unconditionally loving self as well is probably the hardest thing, because we talk to ourselves the most and we go, I go, Samantha Jean, what was that happening in there? So it's about embracing, and that's probably the word, embracing all of oneself. And it's not to say that we put up with those things that trigger us within ourselves. Right, we can either accept them and we can stop doing them and do the things that really make us shine as well. So, but it's just embracing the whole picture. That's how I see the unconditional love.
Okay. What are three things that you just cannot live without?
At the moment, I'm really into this hot chocolate with ginger and all of these mushroom herbs in it. And it's
really,
oh my God, it's divine. It's cool. It's from Social Alchemy. I cannot live without that at the moment. I cannot live without my crystals. And I cannot live without lip gloss.
Well, I tell you, and now, is she a pure through and through female? Absolutely. An exotic goddess. What is one of your favorite songs that really represent you and make you happy?
So many songs. I really like that. Because I've done a lot of work with teenagers. So the Little Mix song, "His Wings Were Meant to Fly."
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's one of those songs that makes me feel happy. And probably in our house as well, Frozen, anything Frozen or Elsa, we sing very, very loud. Very, very loud.
So what does your husband feel about the work that you do energetically? Because you know what? I'm a real spiritual being. But sometimes my husband is going like, you are doing too much with that singing bowl and the sage and all of that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, hi, baby. You feeling better? Okay. Welcome to On the Edge.
Yeah. This is Isabella.
Oh, you got a little cough?
My little darling.
Well, it's hard raising kids, but so what does your husband think about this, the work that you do?
He loves it. So he does, he loves going to conscious dance.
Baby shark.
Oh, baby shark. That's what we can't live without in our house. Baby shark. So he loves it. He loves doing conscious dance. So That's something that he can't live without. And so we both.
So what is conscious dance?
So conscious dance is just, it's not choreographed at all. You just go, you allow your body to feel the rhythm and go with the beat. So we're actually just talked about collaborating and using what I know and what he knows through the dance to come together to make a collaboration, and it all will be of consciousness and through our body and dance. So that's very exciting. So yeah.
Well, it's also very erotic.
Very erotic, you know, as well.
Because again, brains, you know, we're talking a little bit about sex appeal too. You don't You don't necessarily have to be naked for it to be sensual, and to for it's probably better when you're not naked, because you are really grabbing the essence of who that person is. You're seeing them free flowing. You're connecting with their breath. You know, all of that support. And I saw you do a little bit of the dance on one of your clips that you had. You had a beautiful little flower headband. You had on a brown dress, and you were doing it. You were in your element. How did you find this conscious dance?
I've been dancing for forever and a day, and it's I've done Kundalini dance, chakra dance. The conscious dance is just something that I've just gravitated to. So,
Is that a cultural thing, spiritual thing?
I think it's more a spiritual thing, but I think it's very combined with different cultures as well. So, if you look to all cultures, everyone has danced. And I feel like I'm about to go into Footloose right now. But, you know, it's very true, that movie, everything that they were saying is everyone has danced. They've danced their emotions. They've danced in celebration. Right. So, yeah.
Well, I think that that is so valuable. So let's ask some more fun questions. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
Oh, panther just dropped into my head straight away. That is definitely, I've always been a panther. My second one would be a dragon.
A dragon.
A dragon.
I got to turn you on to somebody down there that'll take you on a meditation on the back of a dragon, girl.
Love it.
And she's in Australia. You will love it for sure. I'd be a party animal.
Of course.
I would. Or I'd love to be an elephant. You know, because they're big and they're strong and they never forget.
They never do.
They never forget. What's your favorite food?
Oh, my favorite food. Oh, I love, it's a toss up between chocolates and strawberries.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a good cook?
I am. I don't get enough time. Like, I'm not a fancy, fancy cook, but I'm like a wholesome meal cooker.
Well, that's good, because cooking is a meditation as well, and it's great to be able to sit down with your husband and your children and to share a meal. You know, you're putting nutrients into your body, and that's so important.
You can feel the difference with food if they've made it with love or whether they've just made it as well. There is there's a taste difference.
It is. What's your ideal client? Because everybody's not going to be your client. You know, sometimes you're going to get with people and they don't want to do the work. It's not you, you know,
or
they may not be in a place to receive what you're delivering them.
Yeah. And that's true. So my ideal client is someone who is just at that precipice, that's ready to start doing the work, because I'm just a guide for them. I'm holding their hand through the process. They are healing themselves. So anytime that we're healing, I'm amazing, but I'm not this master healer. I guide my clients through their journey, and I walk with them as they're doing their healing. So my ideal client would be someone probably between the age of 25 to 45, who's just ready to really find themselves and to find their spark. So, yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes they let outside influences dim their light.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
They suppress themselves. I've got a friend right now that has so many degrees, you know, she'd blow up a thermometer. But what she does is she dumbs herself down when she's in conversations with men, because she doesn't want to be intimidating. She dumbs herself down when she goes looks for a job because they'll say you're overqualified. What do you say to that person that someone is trying to turn down their light?
Shine your light, baby. Just shine your light. Because that's all we can do when we have this beautiful big light, and it's scary. It's really scary sometimes. But just know that if you're working with me, I'm there to hold your hand, and I'll stand there and shine my light with yours.
Okay. Well, then good. Yeah. We'll get through the galaxy together. We'll be two stars. Woo-hoo! So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Samantha.
You can find me on the Facebook at Infinite Love Connection. So we can write that down there. Or you can find me on infiniteloveconnection.com.
Brains, I need you to get your love shack in order. That's why I bring people here on the edge, okay? Because we want you to be in a good space. At least understand the language of love. Understand what is expected. Now, everybody's love language is going to be a little bit different, you know? Some people are going to edit and filter. Some people are going to overdo it. Some people are going to underdo it. And some people are going to question it, like me. But at least know that there is a dedicated soul here on the planet, Samantha, right there, that is loving, free-flowing, and willing to share your space and your light so that you can shine. Thank you so much for being here on the edge with me. I adore you.
Thank you, my darling. It was amazing. Thank you. I know.
And next time we'll dance a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah.
All right, brains. Have a good one. I need you to sign up for everything.
Woohoo!
All right. Bye.